Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up this weekend, the place to be will be Phyllis's Musical Inn on Division Street. Why? Because the Lilacs are back in town. That's the song of the new EP called Endure. The Lilacs are back together after a long 25-plus year absence. It was 1993 when the band was really at the epicenter of the Chicago indie rock scene. Their albums, produced by Jim Ellison from Material Issue, who named the band, and Brad Wood, who did Liz Phair's record. But as Chicago's indie scene was breaking, the Lilacs broke up. The band left town, went in separate directions. Some found religion, some found relationships. The band that was founded by the kids from Glenbrook North was gone. But have no fear, they're back together 25-plus years later, recording music and touring again. So where have they been? Ken Kersen has been in New York City. He became a journalist and political consultant that co-wrote Rudy Giuliani's autobiography and edited The Observer for many years. The Observer, of course, the paper formerly owned by Jared Kushner. But rock and roll wins out, and Kersen is back with the Lilacs, and he's in studio with me tonight. Ken Kersen, thanks for being here.
Justin, that was one of the greatest intros. Like, I don't know what I can say. You've
how about it? Well, let's talk rock and roll. Let's talk about why are the Lilacs back together?
You know, a couple years ago, I went through a harrowing divorce, and I said to myself, after all these years of, like, you know, building this big career and trying to be a big shot in New York, I said, I think I've got a lot of things wrong in my life, and I gotta change habits, man. So I started to say no to some things I said yes to. I started to say yes to a lot of things I'd said no to. And one of those things was I just put music aside after it was my whole life when I was in Green and then in the Lilacs. And when I decided to become a writer, I just gave it up totally. And so I've been asked from time to time, hey, you guys should do a reunion. And I always said, no, I'm done with music. And all of a sudden, I got in touch with Joe Shanahan. He loved the band. He'd always been a big booster.
Yeah, from Metro, of course.
Guy who owns the Metro and Double Door and a couple other places. It just seemed like the time was right, you know, to try it. So we played this reunion show at Metro. It was fantastic. The band sounded great. My only condition was I wanted to do it with the original guys so it wouldn't be like, you know, Ken and the hired studio musicians.
Ken and the Lax, right?
Right, Ken and the Lax. And I wanted to make sure we weren't a joke, that we still sounded good and had energy and had chops. And we sounded fantastic. I think that show is one of the best shows the Lilacs ever played. So then we naturally started thinking, what about these great songs we have hanging around that never made it to tape? And I guess I'm dating myself by saying tape, right? all of a sudden, Richard Lloyd, the guitar player for Television, wanted to produce our record. He had heard about us from a mutual friend, Ira Robbins, and I'd gotten in touch with him, and he wanted to produce this record. And then Dave wrote this really great song, Shadow of Doubt, and I was, like, competitive, so I wrote a song. I saw her first, and they were excellent. We recorded it. Pravda, local Chicago label, has been putting out independent music for 35 years, wanted to put it out. And I'm telling you, this thing has been the best-received record I've ever been a part of. The reviews
are great, man.
Unbelievably positive. It's selling. It's getting played on the radio.
It's amazing, too, because the contrast, or just the irony of the fact that why you guys walked away in the first place when you said, yeah, I want to be an adult. Like, the idea of all of you guys saying, you know what, this rock and roll lifestyle, let's go see what else is out there. To flash forward 25-plus years later being like, no, I think I had it right the first time.
Yeah, maybe that speaks to the smallness of my vision, I guess. But, you know, music has always been, even during this long absence, a critical part of my existence. And I don't know why. I'll have to, we'll do a GoFundMe here on the radio for some therapy for me, because I have no idea why I thought I have to just, like, abandon this part of my life to move on and become an adult. I don't know why that is. But now that I'm playing guitar again and performing, it feels really, really natural.
You're
really
living good. The dream. If you think about it, I think about so many musicians who at a certain point, they hang it up. They say, you know what, this was great. This was kind of, I wanted to do this. Maybe it didn't work for me, or maybe it was a hobby and I moved on to something else. And they kind of moved away from it. But you're living the dream. I mean, all of our dreams, everyone who's ever played any music, to say, no, I'm coming back to it and this is going to be my life. And do you look at it that way? That you're never, I'd be so cliche, but to say you're never too old to start again?
You know, I don't see how I could ever do music as, you know, for a living. I mean, even the thought of traveling in a van for a couple of weeks with some guys is like anathema to me. But I think part of the power of social media is you it breaks through all these preconceptions you have. So there's all these guys, a good friend of mine, Ed Ackerson, who tragically just died, was putting out great music till the very end. In his band was another Chicago musician called Jim Slezarek, doing great stuff. Richard Lloyd himself, I went and saw him when we were talking about producing the record. He's fantastic. He's still got his chops, and he's older than I am. So I thought, if these guys can do it, I can do it, or I at least can try. And, you know, so far, so good.
There's so many questions I have, you know, trying to jog the memory banks back to 1993, because you guys were getting radio play. You're getting played on XRT. The music was, like I mentioned, some of the names that were involved with this. Jim Ellison, of course, from Material Issue. Brad Wood. But you still didn't feel like you were part of it. There, it almost felt like the scene was moving, and that you had this great quote in one, I think it was Greg Kot's article, just about, you know, there's this idea that scene was almost hijacked by a Wicker Park hipster, if you will, and it was changing even while you guys were at the top of it.
Yeah, I did feel like there was this effort for everybody to be tougher than thou, you know, more indie than thou. And at that time you're mentioning, all these bands were breaking huge out of Chicago. Material Issue, Smashing Pumpkins, Liz Phair, Urge Overkill, Fig Dish. And I love every single one of those bands I just named. But our thing, the Lilacs thing, was to be like really sincere and really poppy. And that sort of was not what record executives were descending on Chicago to discover. You know, Joe Shanahan had taken a strong interest in our band and mentored us a lot. And I remember he had put us in touch with, I don't want to say the guy's name, but a prominent record executive who loved our song The Very Last Time. And we winded up making a video of it with Bill Ward, a great Chicago director who still works in the city. And that was like sort of our attempt to sound tough and stuff. But, you know, I'd walk down Division Street and I'd see these guys wearing their wallets on a chain. And I'd be like, dude, you're from Arlington Heights. Who are you kidding? we didn't fit in. We wanted to sing beautifully and have harmonies and stuff like that. And, that's still the approach, but now I really don't care.
It's a fascinating look back at a time where, you know, we think about all the bands that you mentioned, and even the Lilacs to really have, the world of music. A lot of bands don't have that opportunity to be at the epicenter of all of the musical world kind of looking down on you, or up at you in this case. You know, what was the impetus for you to walk away? What was it? I mean, because maybe they didn't want the pop music, but there must have been a lot happening around you.
No, there was. We were getting unbelievable gigs. A lot of the club owners in town were sort of using us as that farm system, where when they had a big national band who didn't yet have a following, they'd have us open for them. You know, like Tommy Keane, who's a great songwriter, also recently died. So it was starting to break for us, and there was interest. But one of the things, Justin, was I couldn't stand how hard it was just to keep personnel together. I never wanted the Lilacs to be like, hired guns.
Yeah, right,
you know, I
right.
wanted it to be a band of friends. And these friends were like growing up and going to graduate school and getting real lives and getting married and doing all these like sort of adult things. That was a big pressure point. And also, David Levinsky, who's in the Lilacs, the other guitar player and singer, he was having this really strong pull toward religion. And I would feel really guilty that I was somehow like standing, you know, rock and roll is
standing in his way.
Rock and roll is not compatible with the life of a highly observant person. One of my favorite Chicago bands, the Smoking Popes, their leader, Josh Cater, is an unbelievable singer, great songwriter, great guitar player. He had a similar sort of awakening that, and now later in life, he's found a way to reconcile these big pulls in his life.
Okay, well, when we come back, I want to ask about, you know, religion may not be compatible, but what about politics?
Yeah.
That's the life you live. Ken Kersen is my guest, of course. The Lilacs are back in town. They're playing Phyllis's Musical Inn on Division Street coming up this weekend. Stay with us. We'll have more with Ken here and the Lilacs here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. My guest in studio, Ken Kersen. The Lilacs are going to be at Phyllis's Musical Inn this weekend. The new EP is called Endure. It's getting great reviews. The Lilacs, of course, a great Chicago power pop quartet from the early 90s that were breaking before they broke up. That's the best way to say it. Ken, you found a new world to play in, and that's politics and journalism and New York City. You were the editor at The Observer. You co-wrote Rudy Giuliani's book. What are the comparisons here between, you know, what you do in politics and what you do in rock and roll?
Well, the thing that makes them the most similar is that no matter what you do in either of those art forms, a lot of people are going to hate you for it. So I get that a lot. And the guy you mentioned has been quite in the news recently. So, you know, my political life and my journalism life, I try my best to keep them separate, not always 100% successfully. But, you know, all I can say is that just as with music, I just didn't, my whole life, I've never really wanted to be where the crowd is. So, you know, whether that was when everyone was putting out punk rock fanzines, I put out a fanzine about personal finance. And, you know, if you're going to make a living in politics in Manhattan, you know, to work for people who a lot of people would like to see assassinated was, you know, to me, that's the most punk rock thing you can do. And, you know, I don't think I've ever written a political song.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't necessarily, your songs are about love and relationships, yeah, and all that. It's not really about
occasionally cars.
occasionally cars, right. You know, you mentioned at one point, too, just the idea of being in that world. And because of the names that associated, Giuliani, Kushner, Trump, it's almost the same idea as where the Lilacs were when it was indie rock in Chicago. There was a movement going in one way, and you guys were going in another, and it feels similar in the way that the political landscape or where you fall in the political landscape.
Well, thank you for observing that, Justin. You know, to me, people seem to really conform in their pose as nonconformists. You know, it's incredible how like-minded people in any scene are, and that's not a knock on any city or any scene. It's just, it's amazing how much social pressure can be exerted to behave exactly like one another. And I don't give into that pressure. I don't in my personal life. I don't in my work life. In my, you know, cultural life. Somebody interviewed us a couple weeks ago. And asked a question about that, and I think I said I've surrendered in the battle to influence how people view me.
Right.
Just, you know, you're gonna think what you want, and I there's nothing I can do about it. I hope everyone likes me.
But isn't that the most indie rock thing possible? I mean, that's what you were doing in the '90s. This idea of here's who we are, and we're unapologetic about it.
Yeah, I mean that's what I think. When the Dead Kennedys are coming with these unbelievable songs and energy, and then they show up and their fans are giving it exactly back to them. To me, it'd be really cool if like somebody wore like a suit to see them. You know, like to me, that's the punk rock thing to do. But I, you know, even in the punk rock world, that view is not always that popular.
Well, you know, automatically I think about the bands and rock and roll, and there always seems to be a liberal bent. You're almost hand in hand. We see this in when these bands get big and they get the opportunity to win awards or whatever, and they make their political statements from stage. So it is a little bit of a contrast. You rarely get someone who is right of center thinking who has a background in indie rock.
Yeah, you know, I rock and roll is a young man's game and you know, a young person's game. And with so many great female artists, especially coming out of Chicago, it's really not a gender-specific thing. But it is a young person's game. And I think it's the way of the world that young people should identify more with, you know, the disadvantaged and all the other things that go into making a traditional progressive. But I don't think you should have to sort of, you know, resign from life when that starts to transition in your head. And I think if you scratch the surface, you'd see a lot of more spectrum in there than you'd think. But people are shamed out of saying it. So.
The music, as we get back to the Lilacs, I mean, it's very cool to be at Phyllis's Musical Inn, right there at Division and Wood. And that's so many different bands of different generations have gone through there. you know, when you think about where you were 25 plus years ago, and you think about the scene, and like you said, walking down Division and seeing people with the wallets, and now going back to the same space again, how do you look at it? Especially from being gone out of the city for so long. I mean, it's almost like you're walking in the footsteps of where you've walked before, but everything looks different.
So I was here a few months ago, I guess, in July to premiere my movie. I direct a short documentary. And that included visiting Phyllis's, and it's the strangest situation. Every square inch of Division Street is totally different, except Phyllis's, which looks exactly the same.
It does,
like sealed,
right?
In amber. And you know, I'm here at your studio with my brother, who informed me yesterday that he is a minor Chicago celebrity. And I think he's been on your show,
yeah,
Justin.
Love him. So, great book on
great book. Everyone should go buy Rocket Man right now.
Yeah.
Rush to buy it. But you know, Chicago is totally transformed, and yet here's this oasis at 1800 West Division that's exactly the same. And when I was in Green, Jeff Lesher, who was the leader of Green, he lived at Phyllis's. He lived above it.
Of course he did. Yeah. Everybody lived above Phyllis's. Who hasn't lived above Phyllis's?
And it's amazing to me, and I think that's a very Chicago thing. Chicago is so proud of its traditions and keeping some things consistent and the same, even as everything else is changing.
Well, and I think that's the same with the Lilacs, as they're back in town playing Phyllis's Musical Inn at 1800 West Division this weekend. The show is what time?
It's 9 o'clock. The last afternoons, a really great pop band from this area are opening up. So get there on time, and then
this will be Saturday night, right?
Saturday night, October 19th.
Ken Kirsten in studio with me. The Lilacs back together, producing new music. A pleasure to have you here, and thanks so much for being my guest tonight.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.